Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Once again, we head to the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline for a longtime friend of the program. Right, Jimmy? That's
exactly right. Ron Higgins, he is the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine in Baton Rouge. Ron, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. I've seen where Louisiana has been hit pretty hard by the virus. Anything you can tell us in regard to how you and your family are doing and the folks in Baton Rouge?
Well, I mean, I think the family's doing great, and Baton Rouge is hanging in. Having been a Louisiana native, Jimmy, you know this is a party state, and we like to eat and like to party and like to drink it over anything. And having to self-quarantine and having to stay in most of the time has been tough, but I think everybody has done it in Louisiana. They've done it now for several weeks. So the governor here, they listened to the governor. Of course, the governor got Ed Orgeron to do public service announcements. So, who would want to go against Coach O? You know, really. I mean, at this point, he won a national championship. And Coach O would probably, I'm going to whip coronavirus by myself. He did a PSA, and people are adhering to it. Louisiana hit particularly hard New Orleans, and there's a theory that has a lot to do with Mardi Gras, which is a good theory, because Mardi Gras is one big drunken party for 2 weeks and you're in crowds. So, I mean, that could be a reason. Or also, I mean, basically, you've been on Bourbon Street. You know how sanitary it is. You could just fall down on Bourbon Street and get a virus. But everybody's doing good. I mean, all things considered, everybody's kind of edgy, whether it'll be football season or not, or how long it'll be delayed or whatever. But other than that, the weather's been great. People are playing golf. I haven't done it yet, but I know I will because of the way I play golf. I'm really good at social distancing. I don't get close to anybody at any time where I hit. But other than that, it's all good.
You mentioned the name of Ed Orgeron. When he was hired a few years ago, Ron, did you think there was any way in the world he could win a national championship?
I don't think he could win a national championship. I thought he'd do okay. I thought he'd do okay because he made all – because when he was at Ole Miss, he made a bunch of mistakes, and he realized all the mistakes he made. He knew exactly what he did wrong. And so I thought if he could get to a point where he could get over the hump in – kind of make people realize that he can coach, and he's not as dumb as he's made out to be because of his Cajun voice and deep accent, that he might have a chance. And, the transfer portal has been really good to him. I mean, in the spring of 2018, it didn't look good for LSU. They were coming off a year. They just fired their offensive coordinator with a half to 1 year. They had Matt Canada, who ran a bunch of motion and shifts. LSU's offense looked like the Harlem Globetrotters weave in football. A bunch of people jumping offside and all this motion stuff. And the SEC defenses really weren't fooled. Got rid of him. Put Ensminger back in charge of the offense. The quarterbacks looked awful in the spring. The offense looked like garbage in the spring of 2018. And then they had two graduate transfers come in. One was a place kicker named Cole Tracy, who had 1 year. He was the best field goal kicker in Division II. And the other guy was named Joe Burrow, who got beat out for the starting job at Ohio State. They kind of laid the foundation in 2018. Cole Tracy hardly didn't miss a kick all year. All the field goals that LSU didn't cash in the year before, they cashed in. Went 10-3. LSU got better offensively as the year went along. And then they brought in the wonder boy Joe Brady from the Saints, who was basically a quality control guy. Even Orgeron told me a couple of weeks ago, he goes, I didn't know he was going to be that good. I mean, I had no idea he was that good. He revamped the passing game. It fit Burrow purposely what he did. LSU had a bunch of veteran leadership, had good athletes, had guys to Joe Brady worked with the receivers to make sure they didn't drop any more balls like they did the year before. And it's one of those years where everything comes together. And, you know, Orgeron made a good decision to finally go to the spread and bite the bullet. He knew even in 2018 that LSU could never win a national championship averaging 30 points a game. He knew basically now you have to score about 45 a game to win a national championship, which you do. And he needed the offense. It took advantage of the spread and his receivers and up-tempo, and he did all those things. And they just went outscored everybody. The defense didn't play great until later in the year, but really didn't care. Offense was like, well, we don't care what the defense is doing. We're going to score enough to win, which is what they did.
Ron, I thought Burrow showed signs toward the end of his first year that he could be really good, and I thought he had a heck of a bowl game against Central Florida. But did you have any idea he could be as special as he was?
I knew he'd be pretty good. I mean, nobody could predict the guy throws a touchdown pass per quarter for 15 games. Now, nobody can predict 60 touchdown passes. That's just stupid. But I knew he could be good, and not like he did. You know, toward the end of the year in 2018, they began to let him run a little bit more. And the reason they didn't let him run earlier in the year because Miles Brennan was banged up and they didn't have a backup quarterback. So they didn't want him to run. And of course, Joe likes to run. He doesn't step out of bounds too much either, which kind of worried the coaches. But he did play well. In the bowl game, Ensminger decided to go to an up-tempo offense, and you could see it just fit Burrow perfectly. And when they brought in Brady a few weeks later and start putting the spread, the passing game, and more RPOs, it just fit. And I mean, look, LSU fans were in shock after the first five series of the opening game against Georgia Southern. And LSU scored on five touchdowns on five straight series and throwing the ball, just going downfield, bam, bam, bam. And the LSU fans were like, well, what's going on with this? Like, we haven't seen this forever. What's this deal? And then and then the LSU went out and did it against Texas, and they went against everybody, and they just kept scoring. It just didn't matter to them. They gave up 31 points the second half to Texas and never trailed. I mean, they gave up 28 to Alabama the second half and never trailed because their offense, like, we're going to come back and score. I went back and looked it up, did research. 65% of the time that LSU got scored on by an opponent, they came back the next series and scored touchdowns or field goals, mostly touchdowns.
Ron, it's always great to talk to you and certainly appreciate your time. One of the things that was most impressive to me about Burrow was just his ability to extend plays. There were times that he would sidestep to the left, scramble to the right, as you mentioned, his ability to run, even though he perhaps needs to shy a little bit away from contact. But what did you think of that aspect of his game? Because to me, that blows any of the, oh, he's just a system quarterback talk out of the water. It's just all of the intangibles he has, throwing the deep ball, the short pass, you name it.
Yeah, and he worked really hard in the offseason on sliding around the pocket, just by feel, and his scrambling ability was just unreal. I mean, you saw it against Georgia, and you saw it against Oklahoma, where people were diving in the air. He scrambled away, and his completion percentage was like the highest in the nation for somebody scrambling out of the pocket. I mean, his accuracy was unbelievable, and he had a bunch of good receivers who worked open. But, yeah, he knew when to bail, and he knew when to kind of hang in there, and he knew when to kind of, just tuck it and get hit. You know, I mean, he didn't throw very many bad balls last year. And, I mean, probably really most of the time he had three receivers open every play. And that's how – this offense was hard to defend for this reason. The receivers, as they ran their routes, would read the defense and then change their routes according to what the defense was giving them. And Burrow, it was up to Burrow to read the receivers, changing their routes, knowing where they were going. That's why it was extremely tough to defend, because you can look at it on film and say, we're going to play this defense against them. But then as the play unfolds, the receivers are reading what the defense is doing and changing the routes. And Burrow was smart enough to know where everybody was going, and that's why he rarely made a bad throw last year.
Well, he also showed just how smart he was in a way of endearing himself to his fans to finish his college career. What was your reaction to just the idea, the execution, and how well done it was to change the last part of the spelling of his last name with the E-A-U-X?
Yeah, that was his idea. I mean, that was his idea before the last home game of the year. He really adapted well down here. I mean, except there are a few things. I mean, one time he said he didn't understand. He goes, the other day I got invited to a hurricane party. And I'm a hurricane party. They have parties for hurricanes down here. I mean, they all gather around and go drink and they have a hurricane party. Because I told the guy, I'm not doing the hurricane party. I don't do those. But he adapted really well. He was well liked with his teammates. He earned their respect the right way. He came in, and basically the first couple of days he was here in the summer, won every sprint they had. Never opened his mouth. Just kept winning all drill after drill after drill, and throwing pass after pass after pass perfectly, and they all kind of gravitated toward him, and they loved his toughness. Very first game against Miami, Miami nailed him. He got up, and Miami lineman started talking stuff to him, and Burr just kind of went blank back at him, and all the LSU offensive linemen were like, wow. We love this guy. He would not talk smack during the game unless somebody talked to him. Like last year, they're playing Vanderbilt. He got knocked out of bounds in the Vanderbilt sideline, and they were just talking stuff to him. And he starts running back to Nick Hill. He turns around. He holds up five fingers and he says, "We're going to put 50 up on you today. We're putting 50 on y'all today. Let me let you know, 50." Putting 50 up on you. And they put a bunch. Yeah, they did. The LSU scored 28 points on Vanderbilt the first quarter in about 5 minutes. He's the least cocky guy I know as far as being a quarterback. He was very confident and very prepared, but never bragged about anything. The whole team played hungry all year. I mean, they beat Alabama, it was a great deal. And then afterwards, we talked about, but we should have scored more points. I mean, we made these mistakes here. And he was right. We made these mistakes here. There wasn't one game last year that except for maybe Oklahoma, when they scored, he threw seven touchdowns at first half, which is still like watching a touch football game, that after the game, nobody said, this is our best game of the year. That was like our best. They never said that. They would just say, we got to get better. We got to get better. There's things we got to correct. And then they point them out, and they were right. And I think that was another secret of that team last year, that they played hungry all year. You know, they played like they had a point to prove. And they had a lot of guys on that team that had a point to prove. Burrow was a guy, was a transfer. Thaddeus Moss was a transfer, a tight end. Randy Moss's son. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back from Baton Rouge, wasn't highly rated. I mean, he played with a chip on his shoulder. Had a bunch of guys. The receiver Jefferson, he was barely got on the team when he was recruited. He's like they gave him a walk-on's number and they gave him like a walk-on locker, and he was the last guy they signed in a recruiting class. And all he did was catch like 115, 120 balls last year. Will be a first-round draft choice. He had a bunch of guys like that. Play hungry. Again, once in a lifetime team. Can't be duplicated, and you just hope you can have something close to that.
I guess Ron Higgins with Tiger Rag, you led me into my next question. How good do you think Miles Brennan can be, or is he going to be the quarterback?
Yeah, I think he'd be the quarterback, yeah. I think Miles would be good. It's a tough act to follow. I mean, he can't be Burrow. I'll say this, he has a stronger arm than Burrow. He does. But as far as knowing where to go with the ball and as smooth as Burrow did and Burrow's knowledge, Miles isn't there yet. And I don't know if he'll ever get there because Burrow's on some kind of other plane that nobody ever seen. But Miles can be a good quarterback. Or as Ron is confident, he can be a good quarterback. They've got a bunch of good running backs back. Their top three behind Clyde, Edwards-Helaire are back, and they all played pretty well. They got all the receivers back except for Jefferson. They have the Blitnikoff winner back, Jamar Chase. He's back. Their best defensive player on the secondary is back. It's hard to believe because they have two secondary guys. Both of them will be in the first or second round, and one of them's a Tharp winner, and they weren't the best defensive back last year. The best defensive back last year was a freshman. Derek Stingley Jr., he's back. Mm-hmm. They got to replace a bunch of linebackers, but they just signed a graduate transfer from North Dakota State, who they like a lot, 6'2", 240, a tackling machine for three-time national champions in Division 1A. They knew about him because he played against Bo Pelini's Youngstown State team three straight years and killed him. So Bo knew about him. Of course, Bo's back as defensive coordinator. Defensive line is got to replace a couple of people. They think they can have a good year. I mean, their schedule's hard. I look at their schedule. I mean, honestly, I think probably the best they can do is 9-3. You know, it's a hard schedule. They have Texas early at home, whenever that's going to be. But their last two games on the road are at Auburn and at A&M. And that's a unique schedule twist for LSU to have Auburn that late and then have them on the road that late and play the last two games on the road. So it's a bit different, but they had another really good recruiting year. They're happy with the guys they got. They'll probably have a couple of freshmen that start, including a tight end. But when that happens, when the season will start, nobody knows. We'll just see. You know, I mean, Orgeron goes to work every day. He's in his office. It's about 5 miles from his house, and he gets here at 6 o'clock, goes out on his patio, and, you know, prays to the football gods to have a football season, and he goes inside his office and lifts weights on his weight bench and looks at recruit film, game film all day. That's what he does.
Do you think they're going to miss Joe Brady, or do you think Ensminger picked up enough from Brady to where they can continue that?
I think Ensminger picked up enough. I think Joe Brady was unique. They divide the play calls. Ensminger called 75% of the plays, and Joe Brady basically called the red zone offensive plays and short distance plays, short down distance plays. That was his thing, and Ensminger called the other stuff. They worked really well together, even though, you know, Joe Brady's like 29 or 30, and Ensminger's like 62, I mean, 63 years old. No, they could discuss the same bands from the same era, but they really worked really well together. it's kind of different now. They got a veteran guy, Scott Linehan from the NFL, been around. It'll be interesting to see what they do, you know, as far as throwing the ball. I mean, Brady had a big effect on the pass receivers. In 2018, they dropped a lot of balls. In 2019, last summer, they called it the summer of 10,000 catches. They had a goal to catch 10,000 balls last summer, the receivers. And he had some very unique drills that they did to concentrate on catching the passes, such as standing behind a closed door and getting a jugs machine and firing a pass at the door and opening the door right as the ball comes through and the receiver had to catch it behind the door. I can tell you it worked. They hardly dropped a pass last year, especially in crowds. Yeah, it worked.
Well, Ron, hey, great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us. You be safe and hope all the folks in Louisiana will be safe as well. Thank you.
Yeah, we're trying. All right, we'll see you.
Okay.
Thanks,
see you,
Ron.
Ron Higgins, and he is the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine.
Joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.